to Canaan land. I'm on my way where the soul never dies. My darkest night will turn to day where the soul never dies. No sad across the foam where the soul never dies. It shines and lights the way to home where the soul never dies. No sad farewell, no tear dimmed eyes. Where all
Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Well, good morning and a hearty welcome to all of you listeners. Today is the last Sunday of 2020. And I want to continue, as I started off in the greeting, reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Continue on in verse 5, Paul says, "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust, that he will yet deliver us." Before we go on, let's open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, this morning, as we have come to closing out another year, as we have You have taken us through your grace through the year 2020, and you have protected us, and you have kept us even when we have gone through times where we thought we were in peril, yet we know that you have brought us through these things. Lord, today, not only today, but especially this time of year, when we look back and we remember your goodness and your mercy, we want to thank you for being an awesome God. And yet, Lord, as we look back, we also want to use this time to look at areas in our lives where maybe we can improve, where we could do better. Lord, I pray that you would reveal these things to us. This morning, as we worship you together and as we look into your word, may your Spirit empower your word. And Lord, may you touch our hearts as we together worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as I mentioned, today we find ourselves in the dying days, we could say, of another year. And it is a time where many will look back and reflect on the experiences of 2020. I believe that year end is also a good reminder that we're not on this earth for long. Every swiftly passing year reminds us of that fact. Now, I know there are those who are quick to remark, "I just wish this year would be over so we can all get back to normal." How many of you have heard that comment or something similar in this past year? Friends, we don't know if the normal that we knew a year ago will ever return in our lifetime. We can bemoan the times we're in. We can become angry or embittered or even refuse to acknowledge that a global pandemic exists, which we are living in today. So instead of using the time to draw closer to God as we should be doing. So why not rather take the approach that Paul did when writing to the Corinthian church, as was just read in verses 8 to 10. And I will reread those verses. "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." So God promises, or Paul is reminding us here, that God will see us through. But we have to take that also into consideration, that we do not become foolish and use God's promise to test him. So you might ask, how do you test God using these promises? It could be in any number of ways. By acting like you are invulnerable. By not doing your part while asking God to do his part. Don't be foolish and test the Lord in these things. God has promised to protect you from harm. He has not promised to protect you from foolishness. There's one example of a man who spent his life doing his part, yet all the while recognizing that without God's part, life was futile. And this is King David. So today I want to spend some time in the last two chapters of 1 Chronicles. In chapter 29, verses 26 to 30, will be our text for this morning. And it reads as follows. Thus David, the son of Jesse, reigned over all Israel, and the time that he reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron, and 33 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And he died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. And Solomon his son reigned in his stead. Now the acts of David the king, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of Samuel the seer, and in the book of Nathan the prophet, and in the book of Gad the seer, with all his reign and his might, and the times that went over him, and over Israel, and over all the kingdoms of the countries. In this text we find David at the end of the trail, as far as this life is concerned. David had become king at age 30, and he has reigned as king for 40 years. So he is now 70 years old and about to pass the torch to the next generation. Before he does, David has some last words for those who have gathered around him. So if we go back a chapter to chapter 28, in verse 1, it says, And David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes, and the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by course, and the captains over thousands, captains over the hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possession of the king, and of his sons, with the officers, and with the mighty men, and with all the valiant men unto Jerusalem. So in these last words of David, we can see what occupied his thoughts as he reached the end of his life. In his last words, we can read about a dignified ending to a life pleasing to the Lord. Let's examine these last words of the aging king. In them, we will encounter some characteristics that should mark the end of our own lives. Do we strive to live a life that can have a dignified ending? So we want to continue in chapter 28, in verses 2 to 8. And here is David's time of reflection, as he's looking back on the life that he has lived. So verses 2 to 8. Then David the king stood up upon his feet and said, Hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build an house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build an house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war, and hast shed blood. Howbeit, the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he hath chosen Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he liked me to make me king over all Israel. And of all my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons, he hath chosen Solomon my son to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And he said unto me, Solomon thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever, if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments, as at this day. Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land, and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. David lets us know that the last days of his life were filled with thoughts of a dream that he never saw fulfilled. David had wanted to build a temple for the Lord, but God had said no to David's dream, telling him instead that David's son, the next king, would build the temple, which is found in 2 Samuel chapter 7. This had been a disappointment to David. Evidently, it was not a disappointment that lingered until the day of his death. But David did not allow the Lord's no to derail him. David gathered the necessary materials to build the temple so that Solomon would have what he needed when the time came. In David's words, we see a man who died with an unfulfilled dream still in his heart. But David did not look back on what God had not allowed him to do with anger. He instead looked back at what God had allowed him to do. He tells us that God had chosen him to be king. God had picked David, the youngest son of an unknown family, to be the king over his people Israel, as we read in verse 4. And God had blessed him greatly, promising to establish his kingdom forever, in verses 5 to 7. And David rejoices that God had chosen his son Solomon for a special relationship, in verse 6. Instead of focusing on what God had not done in his life, David reflected back on what God had done in his life. In so doing, he displays an attitude that we should all have, especially as we approach the end of our life here on earth. If we are not careful, we will come to the end of the way bitter, disappointed, and disillusioned because we did not get to see the fulfillment of our dreams. As we age, it becomes clearer with each passing year that some of our dreams are not going to come to pass. What do we do with those shattered dreams? We can become bitter because God said no to our dream, or we can look back with joy, thankful for the things that He did bring into our lives. I suppose that it all boils down to who we believe had the best plan. We can sit around and complain about what we did not get, or we can thank Him for what we did get. We can blame Him for what we think we missed out on, or we can rejoice in what He brought into our lives. It comes down to a matter of sovereignty in our lives. Who is our sovereign? Who is God in our lives? Us or Him? If we are the masters of our own destiny, then don't blame God for unfulfilled dreams. If God is the Lord of your life, then thank Him for what He has done, because He has brought into your life the things that were best for you. Remember the familiar words in Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. So what kind of shattered dreams are you looking back on today? Maybe you wanted more from your marriage. Maybe you wanted your children to accomplish certain things. Maybe you wanted to achieve certain goals. Maybe you are disappointed in your financial success. Maybe you wanted to succeed in a ministry of some kind. Maybe you had big plans and goals for life, but none of them have been achieved. And now, as we stand at the end of the year, you realize that those things will never be realized. What does that do to you? How does it make you feel? Are you content with where the Lord has brought you in life? Or are you bitter that things have not turned out like you had planned them? The best thing to do with the past and its broken dreams is to let it go. Thank God for where He has brought you and what He has done in and through your life. Learn the lesson of contentment that Paul talked about in Philippians 4:11-13, where he says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." I'm sure Paul never dreamed that he would die like he did, but he was content to allow the Lord to have His way. Are you? Then if we move on in verse 9 of chapter 28 and on, it talks about a time of responsibility for David. Here David speaks to Solomon, his son, and he realizes that the young man standing before him is about to shoulder an awesome responsibility. He is untried, untested, but he is about to become the king of Israel. He is about to take the reins of the nation, and David knows that he needs some words of instruction. And David speaks to Solomon, we could say, on two levels or in two specific areas that he addresses. And firstly, Solomon's relation to God in chapter 28, verse 9. He challenges Solomon to know God, to serve God, and to seek God. He says, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve Him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek Him, He will be found of thee, but if thou forsake Him, He will cast thee off forever." David knows that if Solomon is to be the kind of king he needs to be, then he is going to have to develop an intimate relationship with God. He is cautioned to keep his heart and thought life pure. And David is speaking these words from experience. David knew the blessing of walking with God, and he knew about the pain of turning away from God. Therefore, he challenges Solomon, his son, to stay close and to stay clean. And then secondly, he addresses Solomon how he is to reign over the people in verses 10 to 21. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch, and of the houses thereof, and of the treasuries thereof, and of the upper chambers thereof, and of the inner parlors thereof, and of the place of the mercy seat, and the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord, and of all the chambers round about, of the treasuries of the house of God, and of the treasuries of the dedicated things. Also for the courses of the priests and the Levites, and for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and for all the vessels of service in the house of the Lord. He gave of gold by weight for things of gold, for all instruments of all manner of service, silver also for all instruments of silver by weight, for all instruments of every kind of service. Even the weight for the candlesticks of gold, and for their lamps of gold, by weight of every candlestick, and for the lamps thereof, and for the candlesticks of silver by weight, both for the candlestick and also for the lamps thereof, according to the use of every candlestick. And by weight he gave gold for the tables of showbread for every table, and likewise silver for the tables of silver, and also pure gold for the flesh hooks and the bowls and the cups, and for the golden basins he gave gold by weight for every basin, and likewise silver by weight for every basin of silver. And for the altar of incense, refined gold by weight, and gold for the pattern of the chariot of the cherubims that spread out their wings and covered the ark of the covenant of the Lord. All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. And David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage, and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. And behold, the courses of the priests and the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God. And there shall be with thee for all manner of workmanship every willing, skillful man, for any manner of service. Also the princes and all the people will be holy at thy commandment. And then in the first verse of chapter 29, David kind of turns and he addresses the people. And he says in verse 1, furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. So in verses 10 to 19, David gives Solomon the plans and the materials for the construction of the temple. He gives him very detailed and specific instructions of how he is to build the temple. He challenges Solomon to get to the job and to do it right. And then David turns his attention to Solomon, the king. He speaks of the pressures and the doubts that come along with the title of king. He reminds Solomon that no matter what the future holds, he can count on the Lord's presence, the Lord's power, and the Lord's promises to help him make it through. What a blessed hope to instill in one's child. And if we take that into our own day, we must be careful that we do not fill our children's heads with our own doubts, fears, or prejudices. We must not teach them to fret or to worry. They need to see us trusting the Lord by faith. They need to know that God will never leave them nor forsake them, as we find in Hebrews 13:5. And they need to know that God will guide their steps, as is written in Psalm 37, verse 23. They need to know that God will bring them safely through this life. You see, much, or maybe most of what our children know about God, they learn from their parents. And we see in David here was a great example of a good parent teaching his son. Then in verses 10 to 19 is also where is David's time of reliance. This is in chapter 29 now. Chapter 29, verses 10 to 19. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness, and the power, and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house, for thine holy name cometh of thine hand, and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart, and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things, and now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee. And give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart, to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for the which I have made provision. So in chapter 29, verses 2 to 9, which I won't read today, David challenges the people of Israel to give to the work of the temple, and they do so willingly. And when they do, David lifts his voice in a prayer of faith, thanksgiving, and supplication, as we just read. So if we want to take a look, or a little closer look into this prayer, here at the end of the road, we could say, David is still praising the Lord in verses 10 to 11. It says that David blessed the Lord before the congregation. He still has a sweet spirit. And he is able to praise the Lord for his grace, his blessings, and his sovereign power in verses 12 to 13. He's still amazed at what the Lord has done for him through the years. In verses 14 to 18, as he says, but who am I and what is my people? And he is still praying for others. As he is praying for his son, where he's asking God to give his son a perfect heart. David sets a great example for God's people. And then the end of life is not a time to let up on spiritual discipline. It is not the time to stop praying. Very often, it's in our latter years is where the best time is spent at the altar of prayer, seeking God, praising God, and calling on God on behalf of others. In the latter years is the time to draw closer to the Lord. Far too many people have the attitude that they have what they have by their own power and effort. They feel that their success in life came about by their own abilities. And so many people fail to see the necessity for leaning solely upon the Lord. And I pray that the Lord will help me to reach the end of the way rejoicing in His blessings, thankful for His grace, and leaning on His arms. I never want to get to the place where I take credit for who I am and what I achieve in life. How about you? If we move on to verse 20 to 25 of chapter 29, this was also a time of rejoicing for David. It says, and David said to all the congregation, now bless the Lord your God, and all the congregation bless the Lord God of their fathers, and bow down their heads and worship the Lord and the King. And they sacrificed sacrifices unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings unto the Lord. And on the morrow after that day, even 1,000 bullocks, 1,000 rams, and 1,000 lambs, with their drink offerings and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel. And they did eat and drink before the Lord on that day with great gladness. And they made Solomon the son of David king the second time, and they anointed him unto the Lord to be the chief governor, and Zadok to be priest. Then Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord as king, instead of David, his father, and prospered, and all Israel obeyed him. And all the princes, and the mighty men, and all the sons likewise of King David, submitted themselves unto Solomon the king. And the Lord magnified Solomon exceedingly in the sight of all Israel, and bestowed upon him such royal majesty as had not been on any king before him in Israel. If we read in these verses, what kind of a celebration the Israelites had, and the sacrifices that they made, and the offerings that they brought. They had a massive celebration for the goodness of God in David's lifetime. So David's life concludes not with sadness, but with rejoicing And David himself leads the congregation in offering worship and praise to the Lord. They celebrate his life and they rejoice in their new king. David does not go out with a whimper. He goes out with a bang. And he leaves this life praising the Lord. And the end of life or the end of a year does not have to be a sad time. For what has happened in the past, or being sad for what has happened in the past year, it is possible to leave this life or this year behind on a high note when it has been lived well. When you come to the end of the year, or even to the end of this life, still close to the Lord, still clinging to the Lord, and still calling on the Lord, there is no reason for sadness, but there is reason for rejoicing. We always mourn when death takes our loved ones, and that is all right and it is proper, for they will be missed. However, when we mourn, we do so for ourselves because we know that we will miss them here. But if they knew the Lord, we can rejoice because we know where they are. In the passages that we've gone through today, it is of the dying man who is rejoicing. David seems to have no fear regarding his impending death. He does not seem upset by the fact that his earthly journey is almost over. So why is that? He knows the Lord and he knows where he is going. And that kind of knowledge gives great comfort. The believer knows that God has promised to bring his children safely home at the end of the way. 2 Timothy 1 verse 12, "For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." The end of the year or the end of life is not a time to dread. It is a time to rejoice. Will you face it with dread and fear? Or will you be like David? Will you be able to rejoice as the year closes, or as our last days approach here on earth? So with the death of David, an era came to an end. Israel's second king was probably the best king, but the lessons we learn from the life of David can still speak to us today. As we consider the end of David's life, let us also consider our own lives. How do we want to finish the race? Can I say like Paul, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." According to 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 to 8. So at this year end, are there areas in your life that need some adjusting? Now is the time to deal with them. Are there broken dreams you need to surrender to God? Are there responsibilities you need to fulfill? Are you relying on the Lord as you should? Are you rejoicing as the end of life gets closer with each passing year? And if the Lord grants us another year, let us heed his voice in living out our lives as he wills. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we approach your throne of grace one more time as we close this service and as we close out the year. And Lord, as we stand at the threshold of a new year, we may be looking back, looking over our shoulder as what has happened in the past year, and we may have regrets. But Lord, we ask that you would forgive us where we have failed you, and that we would not allow those mistakes or those missed opportunities stand in the way of serving you with a pure heart. May we, as we go forward into the new year, take what we have learned, or may it, what has happened in the year past, serve to educate us or to build us up in the things where we should be stronger. Lord, may you give us the strength that we need, that we would rely on you for the wisdom and the power that you can work through our lives if we submit to you. Lord, at this time, we also pray for those who are suffering, for those that are depressed, for those that are fearful. Lord, may you calm their hearts and their minds. May you instill upon them that they look to you for strength, to draw on the promises that you will be with us. Just like Paul confessed, that we can know whom we have believed, and that we are fully persuaded that you are able to keep what we have committed unto you into all eternity. Lord, again, I just pray your blessing upon the listener. And may you be the focus of our lives as we go forward from here. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I want to leave you with a benediction. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Again, thank you for listening. And may God bless you.